We are here at the conclusion of the first ever Soil Health Summit. With me is Kevin Kaufman with Monsanto. And Kevin, what's your title with Monsanto?
I am Business Development Lead for our Ag Sustainability.
Monsanto is here because this is part of the Soil Health Partnership, which Monsanto helped provide the funding for to get that kicked off, which was officially launched not quite a year ago. So, Kevin, I want to ask you really what you thought of this summit and how you thought it's helping the goals of the Soil Health Partnership.
Well, when we launched this about a year ago, the intent was a chance for farmers really to help other farmers learn more about how to certainly farm economically and sustainably at the same time, and specifically for us, it's trying to make sure that we protect soils along the way. So this was really our first chance to get the cooperating farmers who are participating with us in the partnership as of today, and we'll do more as we go forward, but to get them face-to-face with each other to share more about what they're doing so that their neighbor, who might be a state or two away, can also learn from what they're doing. So getting farmers connected is really what this is all about.
Let's talk about Monsanto's role in this and the fact that you've also got as kind of the major partner, besides National Corn Growers, which is the administrator of it, you have the Nature Conservancy and the Environmental Defense Fund, correct?
Right.
Now, those when farmers hear those words, those groups, they don't think that they're friendly to agriculture. So tell me about the connection with these major partners and how you work together.
Sure. As you say, the National Corn Growers has provided the leadership and the facilitation of the whole Soil Health Partnership, both to the reach out to the growers, but collecting the data that we're going to have for all the soil health benefits that we're trying to track. And then Monsanto's role, along with the Walton Family Foundation, is actually to fund cash dollars to help enable all of that. The cool thing about what the Environmental Defense Fund and the Nature Conservancy are, they're helping us be our technical advisors to how we think about sustainability. They've certainly thought about this a very long time, about what's right for the environment, as well as working with farmers in their own network to try to move forward on finding the most sustainable ways to do things. Soil health is a really tough one to measure because it's such a new area. The natural partnership is both TNC and EDF have been thinking about this for, quite frankly, decades. So it was a natural partnership to bring them together. If you ask EDF and TNC, I would bet they'd say exactly the same thing, that they are trying to work with growers to find things that are work on their farm, trying to find the information, the data that will help make them good decisions and do things in a voluntary measure. I think we're all on the same page trying to figure out the right thing for the grower in that local area.
Part of the summit included an integration with something here at this facility that we're in called the Venture Cafe. And you all kind of connected together during a social hour and dinner, kind of a party that we had here. Tell me about that and what really the purpose of that was and how that works together with the whole initiative here.
The Venture Cafe is a cross current here in the St. Louis area that includes not only a lot of the major corporations that are based here in St. Louis, whether it be Boeing or Anheuser-Busch, Monsanto, Ralston Farina, all the major corporations, but also all the way down to small incubator companies who are just in their startup phase. They're probably within the 300-acre site that's here in this technology corridor on the order of 200 to 300 type of organizations that sit here. So it's a nice cross-current of people looking to innovate. So that's why we wanted to bring the Soil Health Partnership to this specific location, was we're trying to innovate in soil health. It was a natural fit to talk to some people outside of agriculture, how they think about innovation, and in a social setting, at least get a chance to share those ideas about thinking about problems maybe from a different point of view.
Well, and it was interesting because when we brought them together, you did a presentation. You talked about Monsanto. You talked about GMOs. I was just wondering what kind of feedback you got from some of the people outside of agriculture when you got to visit with them socially about some of these really GMOs being such a flashpoint issue with the general public that really doesn't know much about it.
Yeah, well, so I think that's exactly right. At least, so I didn't talk to everybody, but of the 10 or so people I talked to last night, I would say out of 10 people, really only one person had a pretty passionate opinion about GMOs specifically from what they'd read or experiences along the other way. But the irony probably was the other, I'd say, five or six, I'm not doing statistics here, but of the five or six, probably we're just an open mind. It's like, I've heard about it, don't know anything about it, don't have an opinion one way or the other, tell me more. Mm-hmm. And then we had several people actually, well, I know a lot about this, and I'm pretty passionate because it's a technology that we think is important to raise food for. So while we hear a lot of the press on ban for GMO, there's a big set of people out there who just don't know, and they're just help me understand it more. So that's why we're here and why it worked, I think.
How does the whole biotechnology and the things that Monsanto does fit in with the concept of soil health management and improving soil health?
Yeah, so I think we've thought about it this way, that if you look at the global demand for food, if we say that we're going to be having another 2.5 billion people by 2050, the ideal scenario would be that we can feed the 2.5 billion people without increasing the number of acres that we used to do it with, right? So we don't want to increase the number of acres. Can we freeze the footprint of what we have now for agriculture and be just much more productive and efficient on the land that we use? So what does that mean? That for every acre of land that we use to produce food, the next bushel of output that we can get is, quite frankly, the least expensive, and also the most efficient at using nutrients and resources, whether it be tractors across a field or nutrients that go to feed a plant. If we can figure out a way to keep the footprint fixed, but yet keep increasing yields along the way, and use technologies that are actually friendly to the environment, and not using decrease the amount of synthetic insecticides for natural ones, using biologicals versus unsynthetic, I think it gives us a chance to be much more sustainable. And where the soil health part of this is, if we can do it and keep soils healthy or improve their health, then we've strengthened our bet that we can deliver on the yields that we need.
Lots of emphasis in this summit on cover crops.
Yes.
That seems to be the primary thing. We did hear that we've got like 10 million acres in cover crops now, but it's really, while it has been increasing, it's still just a small part of our cropland. What do you think about how this summit has worked with the farmers and addressing the farmers' concerns about the cost benefit of using cover crops?
Yeah, we've used the analogy here at the conference a lot that where we are with cover crops is really similar to where we were with no-till back in the late 80s, early 90s. Probably more art than science. So now we're trying to really kind of move to this more science phase. And by that I mean certainly people are doing practices and they're getting their own individual experiences with it. But if we can add up lots of individual experiences in kind of a systematic way, then we can collect good economic data to help make an informed decision. We'll never get to a point where everybody will be 100% satisfied with any system. But if you can get to a point that says, look, in 70% of the time, it will work this way with success, that's a pretty powerful, powerful message. And that's what we hope to do by the time we get to the end of this five-year phase. We plan to do it for a long time. For this phase, we plan to have 100 farmers enrolled collecting same information, same protocol information, collecting data in the same way so we can make some pretty clear understanding of what works, maybe what doesn't work.
How do you feel about the benchmarks that have been reached so far with the Soil Health Partnership in the first year?
I tell you, the first year is really just getting people bought into the idea that this is an important endeavor to take on, particularly if you can't really define what it means for an injured farmer versus another one. The neat thing about working with the NCGA and certainly with Environmental Defense Fund and TNC is that within all of our networks, we've got very passionate farmers who believe strongly in protecting soils, improving soils, not just for their kids, but for the 50 generations down the road. So if you got the passion and we can get it moving all in the same direction, we won't be just 100 farmers. Hopefully we're talking thousands of farmers that can learn.
Thank you very much. Here at the Soil Health Summit in St. Louis, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.